really glad to see me. Hope I didn't embarrass her too much, socking that Eberly creep. The walls don't have voice recognition circuits? She asked. Turned it off, Holly called from the kitchen. Too sensitive. Can't hold a conversation without the walls thinking you're talking to them. Poncho chuckled to herself as she pictured the wall screens flashing through a kaleidoscope of pictures while people chatted with one another. From around the kitchen partition, Holly brought in a tray holding two tall frosted glasses and put it down on the coffee table, then sat beside her sister on the sofa. "You're looking real good, kid," Poncho said with a beaming smile. "Really good." "You too," Holly replied guardedly. Anyone would have recognized at a glance that they were sisters. Both women were tall and rangy, long, leggy, and slim. Their skin color was slightly darker than a well-tanned Caucasian's. Both their faces were sharp-featured, with flaring cheekbones and square, stubborn chins. Their eyes were the same dark brown, bright with intelligence and wit. Poncho had let her hair go entirely white and kept it cropped into a tight skullcap. Holly's hair was still dark and cut in the latest spiky fashion. "Is Eberly really the chief administrator for this whole habitat?" Poncho asked, reaching for one of the glasses. "All 10,000 of us," Holly replied. "He won a free and fair election." "Well, he was involved with those fanatics who tried to kill you. How can..." "That's all in the past, Ponch. And he did try to stop them, you know. Not very effectively, of course, but he did try." Almost sheepishly, Poncho said, "Guess I shouldn't have decked him." Holly giggled. "He sure looked surprised." Poncho grinned back at her and took a sip of her drink. Fruit juice. Good. Susie had done more than her share of booze and drugs. Poncho hoped Holly was different. "Ponch, why'd you come all the way out here?" Tension showed in the tone of Holly's voice, in the sudden stiffness of her body. "To spend the holidays with you, of course," Poncho answered, trying to make it sound warm, natural. "You're the only family I've got." Holly tried to unbend. "I mean, what do you intend to do here? This habitat isn't a tourist resort, you know." Poncho's smile dimmed a little. "Listen, sis, I'm a rich woman, a retired multi-millionaire. I got a terrific guy living with me, and we can go anywhere in the solar system we want. I decided to come out here and see how you're doing." "I'm fine." "Don't be a shit-kicker, kid. I'm not here to pry into your life or try to tell you what to do. You're a big girl now, Suze, and I wouldn't..." "My name isn't Susan anymore," Holly snapped. "Hasn't been for years." Poncho grimaced. "Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Just slipped out. And if you're still worried about me and Malcolm Eberly, you can stop worrying. That's over." "Never got started, really." "I should think so, after what he did to you." "Not him, really. His friends. They tried to take over the habitat. It got a little rough for a while." "But it's all over now?" "His friends were shipped back Earthside. Malcolm's the chief of the habitat's government." Poncho's brows rose. "I thought Professor Wilmot was in charge." "Not anymore. We set up our own constitution and government and all that soon as we reached Saturn orbit."
"And Eberly was elected to head it?"
"That's right. I wonder if he'll take any action against me for socking him." Holly thought a moment, then shook her head. "If he'd wanted to, he'd have got the security guards to take you into custody right there and then."
"You think?"
"Yep." Holly's grin broke out again. "He knows he deserved what you gave him." Poncho grinned back at her. "You know the old saying about Hungarians."
"Hungarians? If you meet a Hungarian on the street, kick him. He'll know why."
The sisters laughed together, long and loud and unforced. But then Holly asked, "How long are you going to stay?"
"Cheats, kid. I just got here. Give me enough time to unpack my bags, huh?"
Frowning, Holly said, "I didn't mean it that way, Ponch. It's just, well, I don't need a mother hen anymore. I've been on my own for more than 3 years now." Poncho grinned at her.
"And you don't want your pain in the butt big sister looking over your shoulder."
"Can't say I blame you." Shifting her tactics a bit, Holly asked, "So who's this guy you came with?"
"Jake Wanamaker?"
Poncho's grin turned mischievous. "Former admiral in the U.S. Navy.
headed military operations for Astro during the fighting out in the Belt.
You're living with a sailor?
He's my bodyguard.
Holly looked at her sister for a long moment. Then they both burst into laughter again.
Want to have dinner with us tonight? Poncho asked.
Cosmic!
And I'll bring a friend, too.
Great,
said Poncho, with real enthusiasm. Maybe the ice is breaking a little, she thought. Maybe things will be okay between Suze and me. Then she admonished herself. Don't call her that. Her name's not Susan anymore. She's Holly. Holly.
But looking into her sister's deep brown eyes, Poncho remembered the helpless baby that she had raised after their parents died, and she remembered shooting home the lethal injection that killed Susan when the medics refused to do it.
I had to kill you, Susie, Poncho said silently, so you could be reborn. And here you are, alive and healthy, all grown up, and suspicious as hell about your big sister.
Data Bank, Titan. This much is known about Titan, by far the largest of Saturn's several dozen moons, and the second largest moon in the entire solar system. With a diameter of 5,150 kilometers, Titan is bigger than the planet Mercury, and only a shade smaller than Jupiter's largest satellite, Ganymede. Titan is the only moon in the solar system to possess a substantial atmosphere. Indeed, Titan's atmosphere is 50% denser than Earth's at ground level. That atmosphere is composed mainly of nitrogen, laced with hydrocarbons such as methane, ethane, and propane, plus nitrogen-carbon compounds such as hydrogen cyanide, cyanogen, and cyanoacetylene. Shine sunlight on such an atmosphere, and you get the same result you would in Los Angeles or Tokyo or Mexico City. Photochemical smog, induced by solar ultraviolet light. Titan is a smog-covered world. Its predominantly orange coloring is due to this smog, which blankets Titan and makes it necessary for observations of its surface to be done in infrared wavelengths, which penetrate the smog rather than visible light, which does not. The incoming solar ultraviolet light, together with energetic electrons from nearby Saturn's powerful magnetosphere, produce complex chemical reactions high in Titan's thick atmosphere. Organic polymers called tholins are created to drift downward deeper into the atmosphere and eventually fall onto the moon's surface, black snow. Laboratory experiments on Earth showed that tholins, when dissolved in liquid water, yield amino acids, which are the building block molecules of proteins and thus fundamental to life. Orbiting more than 1 million kilometers from Saturn, which in turn lies twice as far from the Sun as Jupiter, and 10 times farther from the Sun than the Earth does, Titan's surface temperature averages minus 183 degrees Celsius. Titan is cold. Too cold to have liquid water on its surface, except when a region might be heated temporarily by a volcanic eruption or the impact of a meteor. Or if the water is mixed with an antifreeze compound, such as ammonia or ethane derivatives. Titan's density is not quite twice that of water, which means that its body must be composed largely of ices, frozen water and or frozen methane, with perhaps a small rocky core beneath a thick icy mantle. Despite Titan's low temperature, liquid droplets of ethane can form in its atmosphere and rain down onto the frigid surface, collecting as lakes or perhaps larger seas. There are streams of ethane or ethane-laced water carving out channels across the ground of ices. Several sizable seas of hydrocarbon-crusted liquid methane dot the moon's surface. Titan rotates on its axis in slightly less than 16 Earth days, the same period as its orbit around Saturn. Thus, Titan is locked in its rotation, so that it always presents the same face to its planet, Saturn, just as our moon presents the same face to Earth. but even a locked moon wobbles slightly in its orbit.